we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM and the Refresh Radio broadcast. I'm Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I've got bad news for you today. Today, 2016, is 75% completed. Nine out of 12 months at the end of the day will be done. Does it seem like we just started this year and now we're already almost over, less than 3 months away till Christmas, 3 months away from 2017? And, you know, it just seems like the older I get, the faster these years go by. But good news, one of these days, it's not going to be a matter of time anymore. It's going to be a matter of eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ. And that is good news. We want to invite you to come out and be a part of our Sunday morning services this weekend. Sunday school's 9:30. We have two kids classes, some younger kids, then a teen class as well. And then we have an adult class. We're probably going to be adding a fourth class here before too awful long. And excited about that. There are new changes that are coming to our Sunday night format, and we'll tell you about those as they go along. If you'd like up-to-date information, you can check our website, merrittassembly.com. My daughter is doing a great job keeping that updated. You can check in and see what's taking place in our services by going to our Facebook page, Merritt Assembly, on Facebook. You can like us on there and see all sorts of things that have taken place. God has really done some wonderful things at Merritt Assembly of God, but we believe that the best is yet to come. I was in a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago, and he said, if you ever drive a stake in your time continuum, that he says, if you say this is where we stop increasing, this is where we stop growing, this is where we stop becoming effective, this is where we stop being transformed, he said, then I can tell you that the beginning of the end of your congregation has already taken place. We are not there. We're still pressing on, growing, trying to improve every area. And we want to thank those that God has brought our way who are helping us. You see, when people come to our church, they may not have the understanding of where we have come from. And so their perspective can be somewhat hindered because they see things as they are now, and they automatically see the way that things that could be improved. And we're always excited about that. The temptation, on the other hand, is that for those of us who've been around for a long, long time, we know where God's brought us from. We know how bad things used to be, that they're better now. But sometimes we can become complacent with where we are rather than being just as driven to increase in the days to come. So we have chosen. We're going to celebrate God's victories that he's brought to us. But on the same hand, we're going to press on to the prize for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. So we want to take hold of that. So intercessory prayer, 8:30, Sunday school, 9:30, worship service, 10:30. I'll be preaching the word. There's a potluck dinner after the service. Sunday morning, there is no service Sunday night. So, come and be a part of what God is doing this weekend. We want to take you back to Isaiah 42. We're talking about Jesus, our example. On yesterday's broadcast, we talked about that Jesus was a servant, that he was the servant of God, and that God's desire was people would notice that somebody was serving God Most High. The attitude of the Father towards Jesus and the attitude of the Father towards us is that he delights in us. We bring him great joy. We are not a tax upon him. We are not a disappointment to him. He delights in us. He wants us to be empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, he's going to bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now, missions, this what I have here is, this is the missionary outreach that Isaiah is prophesying, that Jesus was not only going to minister to the Jewish people, he was going to minister to the entire world. Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. The world. And so, if you are listening today, I would like for you to help me reduce a statistic. The Assemblies of God was founded in 1914. It was founded with the purpose of being the world's most effective missions organization. We want to be people who take the good news of Jesus Christ all across the globe, all throughout the society here we have in America. We want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And in actuality, about one third of our churches do not give anything to missions. A pastor that I know, he says that he has a television program in his market, and he made a statement one time that they broadcast their missions convention to their community, and there were people who sent money into their church, and this is what the note was that accompanied their donation. They said, "Our church does not have a missions program. Your church does. We want to be involved in what God is doing in communicating the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And so, is it okay, even though we don't go to your church, to support your missions program?" And I want you to know it is. But if your church is not actively involved in missions, by the way, I've heard different definitions of mission and things like that. Our missions program is broken into three categories. There are local missions, there are national missions, and then there are global missions. Those are the three branches that our missions program entails. So that's helping people that are in desperate situations. There's local outreaches, and then there's we have missions that we support to bikers. We have missions that we support to intercultural missions programs, Native Americans, you name it. We have missions programs across the globe. There's drug treatment programs, teen challenge, things like that. We want to reach those. And then there's also the international or the global missions. If your church is not reaching out to people who don't look like you, talk like you, smell like you, act like you, you know, that people that you can, you know, that ministering to them is a stretch for you, then you need to look at Jesus, your example, because he was known as a friend of sinners. He says in John chapter 4 that he must needs, in the King James Version, go through Samaria. It was there that he encountered a Samaritan woman. Revival came to an entire village because Jesus had to travel through that community. Why did he have to travel through? Was it because there was no other route? Absolutely not. In fact, most Jewish people would take the long way around rather than go through that Samaritan village. But Jesus went there and ministered to people who were not just like him. In the book of Acts, Philip was preaching a mighty revival, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, "You know what? I'm going to need to cancel the rest of this meeting. I need to take you out into the desert, out into Gaza." And while he was there, There was an Ethiopian eunuch that served Candace, the queen, and he was traveling in a chariot. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So this chariot is rolling through the desert, you know, being propelled by a horse. The guy inside is sitting there reading, and Philip goes and joins himself to the chariot. And you have to read it the way that it is written in the scriptures. And it says they're having this conversation, and the eunuch has not commanded the chariot to stop at that point in time. It is, so there Philip is, he's just running beside the chariot, running as fast as the horses. It just something that tickles me. But the truth of the matter was, he had spiritual questions that God moved his servant into position so that he could minister to this Gentile so that Egypt could hear of the or North Africa could hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. God wants people everywhere. Paul had the vision of the man of Macedonia calling and say, come over here and preach the gospel to us. The apostles, they scattered across the earth, and by the end of the first century after Christ, the gospel was reaching massive amounts of humanity. God wants justice. He wants spiritual justice to come to all of the peoples. Now, I want to tell you that when you start reaching out, that there are some people who are not going to like it. I want to take you to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22, I believe it is. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 21. I want to read to you what happened to the Apostle Paul. And let me get there. Verse number 17, it says, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Listen to verse number 21. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. That ministry to the Gentiles, where Peter was sent to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, that created a crisis in the church. Some people they started ministering to Jewish people, but then all of a sudden Gentiles started hearing, and they had to convene a council. What is going on here? We're not even supposed to fellowship with these people, and now you are proclaiming the gospel to them. And the disciples testified, but they received the same gift that we had received. And then all of a sudden the church said, wow, God loves Gentiles too. Wow, God loves people not like me. He loves people beyond our own little club here. That's amazing. Okay? So that's what was going on. The book of Acts is a lot about the broadening of people's understanding of just how much God loves this world, that he wants everyone to hear. But listen how the people in Jerusalem responded when Paul made this statement that he had heard from the Lord, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Verse number 22, and they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. And then they cried out, tore off their clothes, threw dust in the air, and the commander ordered that he be brought into the barracks. Okay? They said, this guy's not fit to live because he wants to take the word of God to people who are not just like us. Let me read it to you one more time. They listened to him until this word, then they raised their voices and said, away from such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. I want to tell you something. I believe exactly the opposite is true, that if we do not have a Jesus-like compassion for the lost of the world, that our churches are not well representative of the compassion of God, and it's only a matter of time before they cease to exist. I was talking to a person in another community, and they said, the community has changed. It used to be one demographic. It's now a completely different demographic, and there are churches that are refusing to minister the bread of life to the people who are in their community. They're still clutching to the demographics of the past, and unless they change, they will die. And I want you to know that, well, let me put it to you this way. The sun never sets on the missions program of Merit Assembly of God. We have missions in northern, southern, eastern, and western hemispheres. You can't find a place where our missions program isn't reaching. Now, there are some places where governments have changed, and our missionaries have had to depart from the field for a period of time. They didn't change time zones, but the seeds that they have planted are going to have to remain there. You know, do you realize that back in the 40s, China excommunicated all of the missionaries? They wanted them out of their country. They got them back, and everybody thought that the church was dying because there were no missionaries. No word could get out, and there was nothing going on. Finally, when they were able to go back in and reassess where the church was, they found that it had grown exponentially under the persecution. So what does ministry to the Gentiles look like? What does it look like with Jesus as our example? Verse number 6, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. If you are going to adequately follow Jesus' example, you've got to realize that it involves walking in covenant and not walking in convenience. When you are representing the King of Kings in a hostile environment, you can expect that things are not always going to go smoothly. You can expect that there's going to be some opposition. You can expect that people are going to say some things that may not be that nice about you. You can expect that they may try and limit what you can do as far as business transactions. There are places in the globe right now that if you are a Christian, and you are wanting to have a church where believers can come and worship together, that they will not rent you a facility. They will not sell you a facility. It's very hostile. You're not supposed to have a house church. You're not supposed to even talk about the gospel with your kids. There's a great deal of persecution that takes place as a result of that. And so if you're going to be involved in missions, you are going to have to realize that you're walking, first of all, in covenant with God, and second, that you are walking in covenant with people. We live in a society where it's all about convenience, and if I don't like you, I will just do away with our relationship. That's not the way that the ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords operate. They walk in covenant. I entered into a covenant, and there's nothing on paper. I entered into a covenant ministry with Merit Assembly of God in the community of Central Brevard County a long time ago. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I'd been in a number of different locations. Each one of those locations, I thought that I would be there forever. One place I was there for a year and a half, another place I was there for 2.5 years, another place I was at 3 years. By the time I got to Merit Assembly of God, I realized that the possibility existed that I would not be at Merit Assembly of God forever. Believe me, it wasn't glorious. the paycheck that said zero on it. Actually, there wasn't a paycheck that said zero. There was no paycheck. You know, I just knew that God had called me there. But I had this mindset, God, up until now, I've had the mindset that you were going to call me to a place and that was where I was going to remain. But that's not been my track record. So when I come here, God, I want you to know that my desire is just to leave this congregation in better shape than it was when I found it. And so, you know, I thought maybe a couple of 3 years and God would relocate us. And that was 23 and a half years ago. There, the person who asked me to come and be the pastor of this church, he called me one day and he wanted me to consider going to a different church. I'm a man under authority. I told him, I said, I don't feel like God's through with me here, but I'm a man under authority. And so I will fast and pray about it. And the result of that fasting and prayer was this, that I did not believe that I was at Merit Assembly of God for convenience sake. I believed I was there for covenant sake. I wasn't there to use the church as a stepping stone. I was there to minister to the hurting and the broken in this community. And so I want to encourage you today, if you have to go to your spouse, start at home and say, you know, honey, I want you to know I am in this covenant with you and I'm not going anyplace. Men, do you realize that security is one of the greatest needs that your wives have in their life? They want to know that they are safe. They want to know that they are secure. Make sure that you reaffirm how secure your spouse can be in your relationship, that you are not going to take your intimacy elsewhere. You are going to make sure that they are secure safety-wise, financially, relationally. You're going to do your best that you can to do that. So listen to what a covenant relationship in a community with people, whether they're like you or not like you, looks like. As a light to the Gentiles to open blind eyes. Jesus came, he literally healed blind eyes. But, you know, I've never seen blind eyes open. I do know that an ophthalmologist restored sight to an eye that if I had not got attention, I would not be able to see out of that eye. I'm very, you know what, as a result of that, I'm very thankful. That person did not have necessarily the you poor thing personality. They said, okay, this is what we need to do in order to restore sight. And I want to encourage you, if you want to behold God in all of his glory, then set your feelings aside. Come to your pastor and say, Pastor, I want to see all that God has for me to see. Could we agree that Elisha, when he was standing at the city and the servant got up that morning and he saw that the city was completely surrounded by foreign hostile forces, he saw that, but what he didn't see was that those hostile forces were surrounded by an angelic army. And Elisha prayed and said, God, open his eyes. And, you know, it wasn't that there was a massacre that day. The army that surrounded them was actually struck with blindness. And Elisha took them as captives and sent them to the king. And the king, he said, can I kill him? Can I kill him? Can I kill him? And he says, would you kill prisoners of war? No, send them back to their master. You and I, we need to be able to see. We need to be able to see the reality of our own self. We need to see the things that are obstructing our own vision, the things that are hindering us in our relationship with God. And so I want to ask you, can you set your feelings aside and say, God, would you do whatever is necessary in me? Would you do whatever is necessary in our community so that people can see Jesus? It says in the word that every eye will see him and behold him in his glory. To bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. God is interested in setting the captives free. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you, if you want to follow Jesus' example, and I want you to pray and ask him to give you eyes to see a need in your immediate community, a need in your immediate community where you can help bring freedom to the captives. Never asked you to do this before, but if you see a need in your community, if you're in Central Brevard County and you see a need, I'd like you to email, take a picture of that need, email it to us at meritassembly.com. We're going to pray that God will meet that need in this community. Okay? It might be just that somebody's yard needs to be mowed. It might be that there's a widow lady who needs some help with some of the things going on around her house. If you see a need, I want you to communicate with us, meritassembly.com or meritassembly@hotmail.com. You can email us that picture. We're going to pray and we're going to see what we can do about meeting that need. But I will tell you this, when God reveals a need to you, he wants you to be involved in being the answer to that need. God wants to set prisoners free. Prisoners were not these high-level luxury accommodations where people go and they just get three meals a day and all that. Being a prisoner in those days, you were kept in a dungeon. You were kept in a dark place. Your mobility was restricted. You did not have a lot of the luxuries that we have now. It was life transforming if you were set free. So I want to encourage you today that as pastors, as church members, that if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, even though some people might not like it, that we start ministering to people who aren't just like us. I was in conversation with a man. He had served on staff at a church back in the 1970s, I believe it was, late 60s, early 70s, and a church, someone in the church began reaching out to a different demographic than the church was, and the church didn't like it. And as a result, this guy ended up said, you know what, if you're not interested in ministering to the world, then I'm going to go someplace that is. Father, I pray today that you would let us know that you not only love Jewish people, you love the world. You want us to be involved in reaching this world with the good news of Jesus Christ. May we follow your example this weekend in Jesus' name. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next month right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away to purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?